There are a number of people speak to me about the problem of getting what they want. Some people talk about not getting what they need. So I want to talk for a few minutes about the spaces of wanting, wishing, and needing that affect our lives, that are in a way governed by the chakra system, and how they affect us. Getting what you want comes from your navel chakra. Knowing what you want is from here, third eye. Wishing to get is your heart. Articulating what you want and need is your throat chakra. But finally, getting or manifesting that thing is in your gut. And so many people I know are very developed in their wanting and wishing, even in speaking it out loud, but they really have trouble making life happen. Just briefly, your third eye is the space through which you see clearly. If you see clearly, you can develop a sense of what you want and really be able to, if you can open your throat chakra, articulate that to yourself. Some people honestly don't know what they want. Their wants are governed by outside forces. In a way, television tells you what to want every day. Other people always tell you what to want, and after a while you think that's what you want, but real wanting is not something that other people tell you. You start to see inside yourself what you truly long for. When you open your third eye, you begin to see the world through your particular set of eyes, and you start to go, that's what I want in life. Some of you get it very early, some of you get it down the road, but you begin to see it. And if you really work with this space, you get a very clear vision of what you're here for. And that expresses itself very, very directly in this opening of the third eye, the opening of your mind. It opens it out into the world and it opens it into you, so you begin to feel a real flow of clarity. And it really helps to direct your life. Asking for what you want involves knowing what you want. But once you know, you can really reach out and express to whoever you need to express to what you want in life. The partner you're living with, the partner you wish you could live with, the teacher who isn't understanding you, the friends who aren't hearing you. This all comes from right here. And also the need to be able to express yourself to yourself. So many people don't tell truth to themselves. They don't speak their own truth because they haven't articulated any of that yet. It's all just kind of mental fogginess that I kind of want this and I kind of would like to say I could have it. But the lack of ability to express it really brings you into a lot of frustration in life and a lot of difficulty. Wishing is a step deeper than wanting. And there's so many people who wish, have great wishes. My granddaughter has the most beautiful wishes. And, you know, they're mostly totally unrecognizable and unrealizable, excuse me, as something anybody could really have. My grandson, too. They would want to be superheroes and fairy queens and all these kinds of things. And the wishes are really, really intense. But they're going to be frustrated by reality, of course, that some of what we wish for isn't doable or achievable in the world. It's fantastic. It's fantasized. It's a dream world. But finding the way to make things real is to start to wish for that which can be, not which you wish could be. And discovering how to articulate wish, how to enter into and really enliven wish, is so vitally important to the happiness of a human being. But you have to be careful what you wish for, as you've heard many times. For one reason, you may get it. For the other reason, you may not get it. But understanding and feeling the reality of a wish starts to bring you into clarity about what your life is and what you really, really are here for. So wanting and wishing are vibrantly important to designing, if you will, a path forward in your life. People who don't know what they want and don't wish for anything have very chaotic lives, sometimes lives that they luck upon something happens, and often lives that just kind of meander around and don't add up to too much except for a lot of, you know, narrative drama. So what really becomes essential in the human experience is this thing of getting the thing you want, getting the thing you wish for. And that comes out of this gut level, navel chakra, just below your navel, this space that really has the power of empowerment, this thing that can really go out into the world and begin to manifest the thing you want and need. This takes care of it. But how do you energize this chakra? So many people ask me, they know how to kind of get into the mindset and the emotional set of wishing and wanting, but they don't know how to get into the place of getting. And so I'm going to give you a very simple technique. How to get into navel power. And it's one word, and it's really important. And it's called discipline. Discipline is the muscle of getting what you want or need in life. Discipline is the mechanism which allows you to have strength and emotional and physical and mental power to actually go out and activate the thing that you want and dream of. The thing is, it doesn't matter where your discipline starts or where it comes from, but that you build it as a mechanism. So, it can be going to the gym. It can be going on a diet. It can be going to an AA meeting. It can be meditating every morning. There's a million places where discipline can come into play in your life. The failure to initiate discipline is what makes life not work for you. Discipline, once you have it, starts to replicate itself and generalize itself into the larger genome of your existence. Once you have found this power in yourself to do the thing that needs to get done on a daily basis, you will find that you can do stuff. So it's kind of like pick something, and it almost doesn't matter what it is. Pick something that you will do and try to understand the difference between discipline and just occasionally doing something. Most of us are good at occasionally doing something. You know, there's the joke about the gym. You know, every January the gym is full, right after the New Year's resolution. And week by week by week, it gets back to where it was before with 10 people instead of 100. The 10 people who are in the gym made a commitment and they have discipline. Discipline is not a choice. People who think discipline is a choice will get themselves in trouble, because if you are choosing to go to the gym every day, there will be days where you will get in bed and you will be lying there thinking, do I really want to go? Can I really do it? It's raining out. This is not a good day. My back hurts. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. And you won't go. You won't go because you've got 500 good reasons not to. The choice is the problem. The one thing that works is you get up, rain or shine, that whatever time in the morning you get up, you don't think about it, you do your routine, whatever that may be, and you go to the gym. And you stay at the gym for as long as it takes to do the work that you need to do, and then you have the rest of the day. But the rest of the day is unbelievably empowered by the effort you made to be disciplined. Everything changes as a result. And so many people I talk to who have spiritual lives, who are frustrated in their spiritual lives, are frustrated because they tell me, well, they don't sit very often. They don't meditate very often. They meditate once a week, twice a week. They come to class. And they're saying, why aren't I getting more? Why isn't my life working for me? Well, the reason your life's not working for you is because you have a wish and you have a thought and you have an idea, but you don't have the grounding, the effort to do it. And that's the entire difference. Rudy told me day one, if you're going to do this practice, you have to sit every day for the rest of your life. Nothing in me said but. Nothing said but. What about when this happens? Nothing. I just knew I had to sit every day, 20 to 30 minutes basically, for the rest of my life. And that's what I did. I sat every day. That sitting, no matter what happened, grounded me in the world. I was directing movies, I was writing, I was traveling, I was doing all of these things. But every day I sat. I never missed a 24-hour sit. I'm not trying to praise myself. I'm trying to show you that that discipline had a real impact. It gave me the courage and the strength to have what for me was a deeply satisfying and realized life. I got what I wanted. I got a wonderful marriage. I got wonderful children. I had a very satisfying career. I had an opportunity to teach people that I love deeply. I've had all of these things come, but they didn't come because I wished for it. They came because I did the work. Day by day by day by day, I did the work. And if you're not getting what you want, the question that I will ask you, and you will either avoid answering or tell me honestly, is you're not doing it. You're not doing the work. And then I can only say one thing. Well, do it. Just start. I don't care if you didn't do the work. I don't care who you might have been. I'm not sitting here in judgment. I don't have any need to judge. I'm just saying, if there's something you really want in life, whether it be spiritual or material or whatever, work. Find the power in yourself, the empowerment to achieve what you want in life. It's a very extraordinary place to come from. And then I'm going to take this to the next step. Once discipline is in place, once you have the power inside yourself to be a whole person, to function really well in the world, to realize your dreams, your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, to bring all of this into play, there's something really, really extraordinary that takes place. Because at the core of our particular practice is this word surrender. Surrender means to let go of your particular comfort, pleasure, desire, and open to something larger, thy will instead of your will. That something greater can be activated beyond your own personal striving. And when you start to really let go of you, you start to realize that this muscle system you built for your own realization of dreams and desires was really being built for something bigger. The universe wants you. The universe needs you. It needs your willpower. It needs your discipline. It needs your focus. It needs your energy. It has cultivated you, not so you could have what you want, but so that you could fulfill what it wants. You are here for something greater and bigger than yourself. And if you want to know the essence of pure joy and wonder and wisdom and a sense of being truly meaningful and valuable to existence, find out what it means to have the power to satisfy that which is the source of power, to be able to become a worker for the greater good of being. That's the ride we are on. Only when you have really uncovered this depth of power in you, this depth of capacity, can you then hand it over to the greater good. It may still make you go to the gym. It may still make you watch what you eat. It may still make you go for your daily walk or sit every day and meditate or not. But because you have this extraordinarily developed mechanism of a highly refined spiritual person, you will become desirable to the very universe that gave birth to you. It's trying to use you well. Now, I will tell you something you may or may not want to know, which is that people who don't try this, who don't have discipline, who have failed dreams and who have difficulties in life and who struggle and have really hard times, even they are serving and being used by the universe. Every human life is part of something extraordinarily vast and essential. You are either working with it and contributing to it, or you're working in spite of it, or it is working you. It really is. Whatever your life is, I know every life is working towards something that will give better expression to this beauty and this grand reality that we are part of. Something is working you. But some people, because of a failure to open their minds and open their egocentric nature and open their hearts, only can do so much in the world. And yet even that is part of the whole. There is nothing in the human experience that is not being overlooked by and governed by, informed by one's connection to the infinite. Nothing. If you choose to live a derelict life in which you do nothing, in which you live in a tent under a highway, or you live alone in misery in a one-bedroom apartment that barely contains your needs, however you live, the universe is there, was there, and is always there as part of your totality. It will always push you a little bit more. It will always try to guide you into being better. It will try to open your heart. It will try to open your mind. And you will either give way to that or you won't. If you don't, you will feel the consequence of that. The consequence of not being of service in life is a feeling of wastedness, of egotistic dissatisfaction, a sense that this isn't the way it was supposed to be, I didn't get what I wanted, I didn't get what I needed, a sense of real disappointment. And that disappointment and those feelings are part and parcel of how the universe preys on us in a way, preys like prey and prey on us, to make us grow and evolve. If you give yourself over to that with an enormous discipline, you will find wholeness and completion and satisfaction so far beyond the normal daily experience of any individual person. You will find yourself working for something that is all you ever cared about, and it cares deeply about you. It doesn't not care about the people who are lazy and tired and angry and hostile. It cares about them, and their suffering is because it does care about them, and they don't pay attention, they don't do the work, they don't listen, and the result of that is misery and suffering. The path out of misery and suffering is recognizing service to the what is, showing up, being present, not fighting, not being angry, but saying, thy will be done. And recognizing, if you can do this, that every moment is an imprint of its will, of the collective will, every moment. How you respond to that, how you rise to that, how you affect it is based on how much you have opened and how much work you've done in yourself and how free you are of your own individual separateness and how one you are with totality. That's the ride. It's the journey. We're all on that journey. And how you measure up to that is completely a matter of how much effort and time and discipline you've put into the process. What this sounds like, unfortunately, is like a lot of effort and a lot of, I have to do this and do that. And in the beginning, it is that. But then there comes this point of that can only be called effortless effort, because there's no one doing it. It's just happening. This effort is happening. There is no resisting force. There is just compliance in the most wonderful sense of that word, where you say yes to the what is. When you build a mechanism that can serve, that mechanism will serve you, and you will find that you have a life of unbelievably beautiful, awe-inspiring, wondrous, joyful being. You may also have other things. You know, life ultimately has to dissolve you completely. It's one thing to dissolve the sense of separateness between you and everything else, but at some point it will absolutely dissolve the you, whatever that you is. The universe, as you manifest or you become the viewer of it, will start to disintegrate. And there is a real process to that. And, you know, now that I'm getting so old, you know, I'm 75 next week, I'm starting to really understand decomposition, that sense of having to let go of more and more than I ever imagined one had to get let go of. You start to realize even that is part of this extraordinary process. Even the discomforts, even the sleeplessness, even the pain of that decomposition is something you can greet with a kind of magnanimity and openness and availability, instead of fighting it or hiding from it or pretending it's not there. Opening to the total spectrum of the human life from beginning to end is the joy of the spiritual revelation, if you will, the spiritual life that you live. It's a yes to life rather than a maybe or a no. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And it's why we sit here. You guys show up every week, and you show up because you are muscularly building an effort that will support something much greater than yourself. It is so beautiful. It is so extraordinary. It is so wonderful. And I am so grateful to be surrounded by you, because together as a collective, we are on this journey into service, really, and surrender and being one with what is. So, if you want to be something beyond a wisher and a wanter and a desirer, and you want to be someone who becomes the thing they're looking for, who reaches out into the world and builds a universe for themselves, and then helps dismantle it, perhaps, at the time it has to be dismantled. If you want to be that person, take on the responsibility, find the discipline, find the effort, make the effort, and you will get to the place where there's no effort left. It's just allowing it to be, and there's not even anybody allowing. It just is happening. Happening is happening, and that's where we all end up. Any questions?
Christine and I talked a lot about discipline is probably not my strongest point. Part of it may be because my dad was very disciplinarian. And part of it is that I think inside I believe that kind of like, or I know that sometimes the best movement forward is spiral and not direct. When I try to discipline myself at something, I bump into a wall. And when I flow, it seems to go. I also know the fact that when I have been able to bring discipline to my life, that feeling, that knowledge of what you're talking about, that the question goes away and you're just doing, is a great empowerment also. But I wanted to ask about kind of like that. For me, it seems sometimes that directedness and straight line doesn't work as well as when I'm able to let go and let things unfold.
Discipline is not necessarily a straight line. Discipline is often giving yourself over to flow. And often what happens for people is that lack of discipline is really an obstruction to flow. It really gets in the way. You want to be part of a flow. You want to be free flowing. You want it all to sort of manifest as in its own way. And you don't want to be the problem in that flow. But if you are a leaky boat, you're not going to flow very well with that water. If you are somebody who doesn't have the strength to flow where the flow wants to go and sometimes discover that the flow is going to be surging of motion rather than gentle motion, if you don't have the vehicle ready to ride the waves of flow, then you will find yourself drowning in your own flow. If flowing is a wonderful thing, but life determines flow. It really will, some days it will be gentle sailing down the stream, you know, merrily, 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 merrily. But there are times where it really is volcanic, where it is tornado-like. This is flow too. If you don't have the discipline, you will be blown into smithereens. You will not be able to survive the dynamic nature of daily life. So discipline is something that can really find its way to be strong when it has to be strong and gentle when it wants to be gentle and to be responsive when it needs to be responsive. And if you don't have that, this flow becomes kind of like what I would call amoebic flow. Like, oh, you're just kind of flowing into any direction at all. And there's no directionality to it in the end. It just happens. Where do you show up? Where do you show up? For some people, that may actually be okay, you know, to just amoebically move around, you know, from one thing to another. But there is something going on in human life that seems to have the appearance of directionality. And if you want to enter into directionality, you will need to have some kind of ability to hold the vehicle together so that it doesn't get smashed against the rocks that tend to happen when you just sort of what you call flowing, you know, amoebically flowing. I know so many people whose lives are just, you know, afloat. Let's put it that way, afloat. And whatever they end up, and they end, you know, maybe we all are that on some level, but I would rather be a strong vessel rather than a rubber raft that just happens to be hitting this place and this place. I mean, you may end up in the tropics. I mean, you may end up, you know, in the frozen north with your little raft. Better to have a real vehicle that can carry you and can carry others and help people along the way. And that kind of discipline is something that is worth sort of engendering inside. I know what you're saying. I really do. I really know what you're saying about just go with the flow. I mean, that was definitely the directive of my entire generation. Go with the flow. I'm not saying don't go with the flow. I'm just saying have a vehicle that can flow well.
I can really hear you, actually.
Okay. Anybody else? Okie dokie. Next Saturday, I turn 75. I've mentioned this a million times because it really is My mother died at 74. I had a big deal in my mind about getting to 75, so I have a week to get there. And hopefully that will happen. It's a big deal on some level. You know, Rudy made it to 45. I've had 30 years additional, and I needed them to get anywhere near the kind of wisdom that he was teaching. But there's something really valuable about long-lived experience. You really do start to discover wisdom. And the wisdom comes from going around the sun that many times. So I probably will talk about it more next week, just because it's a big thing for me at this moment. It's also a very small thing. I'm not celebrating it in any particular way. But I am very aware of the fact that I've been given the longevity of a life that, you know, in the old days, 75 was two lives. You know, people lived 30, 40 years. You know, that was a life and did a lot in those lives. But we've been given these longer lives, and I have to say, it's good to have that opportunity, and the best thing is not to waste them. So I'm really, if I make it to next week, I will kind of quietly celebrate with you. Mm-hmm. And I thank you guys for being here today, and see where we end up 7 days from now. Thank you for coming.